What happened to our men? After all of my study, learning, reading, counsel, thinking, and observing, I am forced, because of common sense, to emphatically conclude the following fact. There is only one thing that God can use to make a man, and that is a little boy. All of the really great and huge things that exist on the face of the earth as we know it today started small. I mean at the cellular level small. Such a tiny beginning is but a foreshadow of just how great and powerful is our Creator God. He can take a tiny microscopic-sized human cell, embryo, and grow it into a huge, powerful, strong, full-grown, 6-foot-6-inch, 285-pound man in less than 22 years. Wow! That is powerful. Our Father God has given all of us at conception everything that we will ever need to have and to use to become highly successful and influential human beings in our own lives and impact the lives of other people all around us. All that it takes to accomplish this is for you, only you, to start using and therefore honing and developing those special skills you have already been given, just the way you already are. You need nothing more than what you presently have. It is His way of doing things. Furthermore, He has prepared in advance a beautiful plan of success for each of our lives if we will seek Him, come to know Him personally, and accept Him as our Lord and Savior. Only then will we be able to learn and know what His will for our lives really is. Once that exercise has been effected, we are then empowered to accomplish and complete His special and perfect plan for our individual lives. Very nice program, eh? Now, permit me to pose an all-important question to every one of you. What does it really mean when we say to a little boy that he should grow up and become a man? Such a powerful question entails many different things, ideas, thoughts, and concepts. Agreed? Things like what a man should be, how a man should live, and what things should a real man aspire to achieve and take as part of his fully developed character? The great ancient philosopher Plato addressed this very subject so many years ago when he posed this most critical question to all of the world. He asked, "Who teaches the children, and what do we teach them?" God set up human society so that what He taught to the beginning first generation of mankind would be used and experienced so that that generation could give and teach and properly train the following generations. And so it is passed down through the ages of time that each generation of men and women have an obligation, like it or not, to teach the younger ones coming behind them. Now, what is so obvious and also terribly sad is that when there is a failure to teach those coming behind you, then misery, suffering, and major trouble always is sure to follow. Permit me to share some eye-opening danger signals, brightly flashing and loudly sounding to all of those with ears to hear and eyes to see. According to a recent survey by David Brooks, in 1954, about 96% of American men between the ages of 25 and 54 actually went to work every day. Today, that number of men actually working has dropped to about 80%. The fool would say from this report that there is no need to worry. Oh no, nothing at all to be concerned about. In the past 59 years, 1/5 20% of all men in America in their prime working ages are not getting up every morning and going to work. No problem. What's to be worried about? So what if they are not supporting themselves or their badly in need families? Remember how our society actually works with the older, more experienced people teaching the younger, inexperienced ones? Can a blind man actually lead another blind man? One thing is always for certain. You cannot teach with any kind of authority that which you have not done. Theoretical intellectuals are usually only found in the formal higher educational system. They are as useless there as they are in the practical applications of their theories, which have no actual experience or results riding along with them. American men and men in general are increasingly dependent on the government dole for their personal support rather than from the fruits of their own labor. Never have there been so many American men out of work than since the Great Depression of 1929 through 1932. Let us quickly examine the importance of the man, the assigned provider and protector of the family unit. Let's look at the importance of dad getting up and going to work every week of the year and producing sufficient wealth to fill all the needs of his family. God likes a man to work. God thinks work is a very good thing. He has commanded man to work. He created work and a work ethic as a blessing and as a benefit to all men. He tied it into a man building for himself a healthy and confident self-image. A working, producing, and providing man is a secure man, is a confident and capable man, and is an attractive man who will fulfill his God-given responsibilities. Consequently, his completer, woman, will find him highly desirable, and the family cycle will grow to completion. The species will be propagated. The world as we know it will endure. Concerning the great importance and the personal blessings of work and the frequency of work, God gave man the commandment to all mankind to work and to rest and to recover. He did so in the form of the Ten Commandments. Please note that they were not suggestions. God specifically said in the Holy Bible, in the book of Exodus, Chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, in the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now please permit me to tell you that whenever the Lord your God commands you to do something, He really means it. To fail to do it, or to do it with a half-hearted effort, is a direct sin against God. It is called disobedience. If that is how you work or try to avoid work, you not only will miss the blessings God had planned to give you for obediently following His instructions, but also you will be punished for your overt sin. God will never reward disobedience. Further, and additional concerns about a lazy man's workforce, or worse, one that doesn't even exist, is the catastrophic negative effect that it perpetuates on the family unit and on society as a whole. Lazy, unemployed, non-working, capable men find it practically impossible to attract spouses. Their laziness has an extremely corrosive, unproductive, cultural influence on all those people around them. Under normal circumstances, boys eventually grow up, become men, select a spouse, marry, and these women become the mothers of their children. If, however, these boys reach adulthood, unable to acquire and hold a job, stay sober, or keep out of jail, they quickly find that any desirable women have little, if any, interest in legally binding themselves to them as a wife. The fact of the matter is that in those communities, and there are many of them, where marriage is declining or even disappearing, it can never be revived unless and until actually millions of young boys and girls change and get their lives into some sort of a decent order. To support my admonishment, allow me to share with you the findings of a cultural study done by a Mr. Mitch Perlstein. In 1970, 80% of the 25 to 29-year-old men were married. However, in 2007, only 40% of that same age group were married. Quite a drop, wouldn't you agree? Most probably, it is much worse as of today. Oh, this is but the tip of an iceberg of future problems and miseries that lie ahead for us as a society. If we don't immediately stand up as men and begin to reject the foolish and incorrect governmental laws and regulations that just keep causing our young people to expect government to be completely responsible for the establishment and provision of everything we have in our lives. False promises, unfulfilled claims, and outright lies, deficit spending, illegal actions, and treasonous efforts have been made in an effort to get more of our inexperienced youth to become totally dependent upon the government handout programs. Doing so will only serve to keep these youth locked into the mindset that government can and wants to provide everything they will ever need in their life, from cradle to grave, so that we as a nation can become totally socialistic, a population of Americans, all of whom can be on the government dole, suffering from the equal sharing of poverty. A real man will simply not just sit back and allow this to happen. This is the greatest nation in the world. Mr. Rich Lowry of the National Review says, "The working class of Americans is getting cut off from the richest sources of human social capital. Lifetime marriage, two-parent biological families, and church attending, Bible-believing moms and dads." Mr. Lowry goes on to say, "More and more people are falling into a lower class characterized by men who can't, and oftentimes won't, make a minimal living, and single women with children. Now, for those of you who consider yourselves to be well-to-do, upper middle class and above, and who think you are immune to the sufferings of those who I am discussing, you better beware." Essayist Walter Mead had this to say about some of America's elite personalities. "What a surprise! We raised a generation of very bright kids without a foundation in religion, and they have grown up and gone to Wall Street. We never told them that the virtuous life was both necessary and hard, that character was something that they had to build up step by step from youth, that moral weakness was both contemptible and natural. And we are shocked, shocked! when placed in proximity of large sums of loose cash, they grab it, all that they can carry. America has a large-scale mouse of the house problem, an overpowering weak-kneed weenie problem. In short, a lack of real men problem. If something is very serious and it is not done immediately to resolve this problem and get it corrected and turned around quickly with good old-fashioned manners, gentlemanly personal courtesy, and Christian foundational behavior, then catastrophe looms on our horizon. America, hear me well. God created man, Adam, first. He was therefore responsible to shoulder the load, to carry the burden of raising the family and leading it in the way God wanted it to go. Adam was to provide for and to meet and fill the needs of his completer, Eve, as well as for the entire family that he would help procreate. It is your God-given job, men. Don't deny it or refuse it. If America is to be and remain the greatest nation in the world, the men, real men, need to stand up and become accountable to their God-given role as the leader of the wife and family in every aspect of their lives. This manly responsibility cannot, under any circumstances, ever be usurped, given away, assigned, or sold to anyone or any group. It is yours alone, Tarzan. Accept it. Embrace it. And live it. It is in this completed arena that you will find and discover your real and lasting happiness in life. Will the real man please stand up? Be a real man and always act like one.